B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Winovich is not on the line. We'll try and track him down.
Give us a...
He's banned.
Give us a moment to come up with a couple more questions for him. We got the follow-up from last week. Did you do your research on Brandon Lawson?
Did I?
Oh, yeah.
I did not.
Oh, you weren't here. That's right.
I did not.
I looked into it. As he requested.
Are you going to ask him about other conspiracy theories today?
Not so much conspiracy theories, just mysteries of the modern world. Sure.
Oh, okay.
All right. Maybe a conspiracy theory or two thrown in there. Sure.
You think he thinks that Bigfoot head is real, that scalp in Phuket?
You just wanted to say that.
I said it right.
Did you see they opened up some tomb of a mummy the other day?
No.
I saw some story that they
I used to love that when it was on, like, In Search Of, and they did those things back in the day when Hardy and I were little kids.
Oh,
and remember King Tut's? They found King Tut's tomb? They opened that sucker up?
It's great.
Look at all the bandages.
Yep. That's right. Ace bandages.
Then you had the movie The Mummy. That was scary.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Here it is. There was an Egyptian coffin that was opened for the first time in 2,600 years to reveal a perfectly preserved, colorful mummy. Would you crack one of those open?
No.
No. I don't need that.
Me personally, like if I found one in the yard?
Yeah.
I don't need that stuff coming back at me, man. I don't need it.
If I were a trained archaeologist, of course I would.
Yeah?
Of course.
We use a crowbar?
You're just not into the karma of opening that thing up? Like, ooh.
You don't like
who says you're not supposed to open it up?
Rest in peace, my friend.
What if you opened it up and it was like Indiana Jones and you heard like that rumble? Like the skies rumbled.
I don't know, Hardy. There's just something a little messed up about disturbing the dead.
I don't know.
I wouldn't mess with that.
What if the mummy was a jackass? You know, what if they entombed a real jerk?
Well, I mean, this is like playing the lottery or scratching a ticket. You know, do I know if I'm going to win? How do I know if he's a jackass or a jerk? I don't know.
Well, you read the hieroglyphics.
What if I picked? Did they put that on the tombstones back then and on the coffins?
This guy was an a-hole. If you can decipher emojis, I think you're probably going to be able to decipher the hieroglyphics. They're not, spoiler alert, they're not that complex.
Is there an app where you could just take your phone and put them over the hieroglyphics and it just translates it for you?
You don't even have
that. Is that in Google Translate?
You don't even need the app. As long as you have Google installed on your phone, you just open up the camera and run it over the top of that sarcophagus and it'll tell you exactly what it means.
What if you were an exhumer? And what if you had, like, you were part of the team, like, exhuming Hitler's remains? Like, I ain't opening that. Bad dude.
Well, why would you, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, there's no mystery about.
Well, no. Fascinating.
Say he was buried with something that connected something to something. I don't know. What about Clyde Musselman's body?
Clyde
buried in the backyard.
Getting the last words real important around here.
What was the bill on that funeral? Exhumed it, casket, funeral.
That's why you got
farmer had to pay for.
That's why you got to hire the Criterion Brothers to come over there and help you replant it.
Jesus.
So I have three things that I want to ask.
The old dog brought the bone in. Right?
I know. Winovich about today. Do you guys have any suggestions? You want me to tell you what they are?
What are you asking?
Tell me what you have.
Well, we're going to follow up on Brandon Lawson quickly. Yeah. I don't think he'll want to get into it a whole lot.
He'll dodge that. I'll predict he'll dodge that one.
Loch Ness Monster.
Real.
Good one.
JFK assassination.
Oh, excellent one. Who did it? You're going to ask him who did it?
More than one shooter, he'll say.
What?
Absolutely.
I'm going to give him the whole JFK assassination. What do you think?
I think that's enough.
Yeah, open-ended.
Yeah.
I like that. See where he takes it. See where he takes it. It's a good idea.
What do you think? Grassy knoll, you know? We're open. What do you... What?
Travis, fire in the sky.
Uh-oh.
Hmm.
That's the Patriots saying, oh, no, we've banned Chase Winovich from talking to you every Thursday.
I just got a text from a player to ask him about what type of car he drives.
What
type of sports car he drives.
From another player? Yeah. One of his teammates? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Liar. All right. So someone said to ask him. I love that. They can't stop watching.
Somebody at a cocktail party.
They can't stop. They can't stop. They can't help themselves. Good. We'll ask him about what kind of car he drives.
You can tell a lot about a guy.
Absolutely.
Three, four things. His car, his watch, his pet, and his shoes. Or lack thereof, any of those items.
Okay, good. All right, we'll do all that with Chase Winovich. A couple of news items. You want the football one first or the baseball one first?
Baseball.
Baseball.
Okay. The baseball one is this from John Heyman. He's got an update on the Red Sox managerial search.
Ooh.
We, 2 days ago, said, where are all these reports about the Red Sox? Not, you know, where are the interviews? Where are those reports?
Right, right.
Here's what he has 26 minutes ago. Mm. Cubs coach Will Venable interviewed for the Red Sox manager. Dodgers coach George Lombard and Pirates coach Don Kelly, among others, thought to be on their list. Alex Cora, with support of owners, players, and fans, has been viewed as the favorite. Players is, that's gone public. Christian Vasquez, I believe, has comments from yesterday.
Oh, my God.
He openly is advocating for Alex Cora to make a return.
Gushing.
How about the bench coach he wants, too?
So.
Did you hear about that?
The bench coach that he wants? Carlos Beltran.
I mean,
bring them all in.
Could we be any more blatant in the
bring it all?
We want all the cheaters and the best sign stealers to be our guys. Yeah. Christian Vasquez. Yeah. I want to be able to hit like those.
Hey,
guys
they'd like that. They like that Irish kid, the Kelly kid. They like him around here.
Don Kelly. I'm not familiar with Don. It sounds like a guy from Southie. Like, oh yeah, Donnie Kelly's. Now the Red Sox manager.
Hire a couple of those other ones. Talk about irrelevant. Jesus.
Yeah, he's hanging out with his dad over at the bathhouse. Like, what are we doing? Who is this guy? He's with the Pirates?
The Don Kelly era.
Donnie Kelly.
What'd you say? Red
Sox
Castle Island?
Yeah, it's the bathhouse.
So it's like Cora's a favorite of owners, players,
he leaves
fans.
Out one guy there. Chaim Bloom. If Cora's just coming back, why is Chaim Bloom interviewing Will Venable? Where do these other names come from? I just wonder if Chaim Bloom's on the phone with Heyman saying, yeah, listen, owners want Cora back. Fans are all about it.
The fans part of it is interesting. Like,
here's what I get to tell you, John. I'm interviewing guys. Will Venable already interviewed. George Lombard and Don Kelly are on my list. Is there a struggle?
Oh,
here's another thing I wonder. How do you think Chaim Bloom felt last week when that report came out that the Red Sox called Moneyball man Billy Beane and tried to see if he would become their baseball executive to be the guy in charge and not Chaim Bloom?
They like those handholders, huh? Tony La Russa.
They sort of wanted the veteran guy to be the – sort of like Lucchino to Theo, right?
Yeah.
That's a better example, like Lucchino to Theo.
Yeah.
You know, who runs the Red Sox, Larry Lucchino or Theo, when it comes to baseball decisions? There was always that tug and pull there. It sounded like maybe they wanted to go back to a similar model. How do you think that made Chaim Bloom feel?
I think it make him feel great. We think you're doing a great job. We just want someone to come in here and watch over you.
But it also said as part of that report, Hardy, that they were maybe looking for a less experienced front office person. And it would not have been Chaim Bloom. It would have been someone with even less experience working under Billy Beane, which sort of just, you start thinking, if you're him, well, what level of confidence do the owners have in me here?
What level of confidence has he given them? What has he earned in terms of confidence?
He hasn't been here very long. I mean, what has he been able to really do to...
I agree.
Have you be less confident?
It's a very short sample size, but he hasn't given them a whole lot of reason to me. It's like that. He absolutely knows what he's doing.
It just creates an interesting dynamic when all of a sudden, months after you get the job, you're like, oh, so I wasn't the choice and you didn't want to hire someone like me. You wanted to hire Billy Beane and get someone who was less experienced. So do you truly want me here? I'm like your backup plan. Are you fully committed to me?
I don't know. It worked in the past.
What do you mean?
With Theo. They wanted Billy Beane and they got Theo. And was Theo thinking the same thing?
I don't know.
I mean, they wanted Billy Beane, then they talked to Theo, and then Theo took over and created what they created.
And Theo was 28 years old when he got the job. He was young. But again, Theo was working under Lucchino. He sort of had to deal with him.
True.
He had to deal with Lucchino.
28.
28 when he got the gig. Youngest GM in baseball. 28 years old. The other news item, football related, Yannick Ngakoue. He was traded this year from Jacksonville to Minnesota.
They're big mouth. What a money.
They've moved him again. He's going to the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. This is interesting coming from Minnesota. So if that's a team that's in trouble and in peril.
Yeah, they're dumping him.
They got a tight end.
Oh, good one, Zoe.
Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph.
He's a good quick fix.
Oh, I feel like Hardy could have a couple songs for Kyle Rudolph. I mean, it's just, you know, natural fit.
I'm Rudolph for red no reindeer. Yeah,
that's the Rudolph song that currently exists.
Speaking of songs.
Yes.
Halloween falls on a Saturday. Are we doing the damn right Monster Mash headlines
Friday.
On the Friday?
We'll do it on Friday.
Is that the
Friday.
Deal?
Yep. Yeah,
no, yes. I think we should all come back and do a midday show on Saturday on Halloween.
Not going to happen. We're going to rip it up.
Not midday.
We will do our best to track down Chase Winovich for next segment. In. He obviously got caught up maybe doing something. So, you know, it is a work day, right, Zoe?
Big work day.
Maybe he's doing what Stephon Gilmore was doing yesterday.
Not everyone's working.
We tried talking to him.
So I just got a text.
Maybe.
All right, well, Matt Maiocco of NBC Bay Area, who covers the 49ers, 49ers insider there, he's going to join us coming up at 11:36 because I believe he's got some info and some insight as to what's happening with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. That's coming up as well. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in Chase Winovich. It's a Twisted Tea Thursday on Zolak and Bertrand. Yeah. Twisted Tea is more than just the original hard iced tea. It's a whole new attitude. Grab some Twisted Tea and tailgate like a pro every game. Twisted Tea, keep it twisted. Enjoy responsibly. Chase, what's going on?
What's going on? Happy Twisted Tea Thursday, everyone.
Yeah, Twisties for everybody. Hey, bro, what's up with this stuff on Instagram? What's this Monster Mash thing you're pushing?
Hold on one second. Welcome back from your vacation last week. Let's address that first.
Oh, Beetle.
This is Zolak. Yes. It's the wrong guy, buddy.
Yeah, no, Zolak.
I was on vacay. Beetle was on vacay.
I was off that day.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a chance to talk to you. I'm sorry, Chase.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. It's okay. I forgive you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what was your question again?
You were on Instagram jumping up and down to Monster Mash, and it looked like you had some sound ball there or something.
Pushing. First off, Monster Mash is a great song.
It is.
To that, I'd say 'tis the season. You know, the Mothman usually comes out around October, and so do great Halloween music.
Are you excited that Halloween's on a Saturday like I am? I know you got football games, but... Well,
I have a football game the next day. Why would I be excited?
Yeah, you guys will be in a hotel room in Buffalo, I assume, on that night. But,
all right.
Hey, rock out, man. Go nuts.
Got some weirdos up there. You know that.
No comment.
All right.
That's a yes.
Somebody did reach out to me with some Mothman news in Chicago that I linked you in on Twitter. Have you heard about the recent Mothman sightings in and around the Chicago area?
Man, West Virginia to Chicago, the Windy City, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I actually haven't heard about that. Well, can you update me?
Basically, there have been multiple sightings at Chicago O'Hare. There was a baggage handler who was leaving one night, saw something 6-7 feet tall, thought was wearing an overcoat, and then thought they lifted the overcoat open, but then they appeared to be wings, and then took off running and flew over the car. And this has been, this has happened twice at the airport out there. And
I've not heard about this. It's incredible.
Up and down Lake Michigan there, like around that area. So Mothman.
I told you guys, he's alive.
I apologize.
Yeah, you don't want this thing at an airport, though.
Chase, I don't mean to, like, you know, sound like I'm placating you or in any way talking down to you, but you know the Mothman isn't regional. The Mothman can go wherever Mothman wants to go. It's not just West Virginia.
My question is, why would he go to the airport if he could just fly anywhere? That doesn't really make sense.
Great point.
Is he regulated by the U.S. government? There's
FAA.
He's registered with the FAA.
Yeah, he's got a tail number and everything.
You can track him on FlightAware. Hardy, do you want to get to your questions?
Do you want to do?
Can we do a football question first? Can we do some football first?
I have a few questions about the last game.
Oh, we could do that. Let's start with the football questions then. Chase, based on your snap count, you had less of a role this week. What was going on?
Hey, man, you got to trust the process. And just the process, that's all I'm going to say. At the end of the day, certain things are out of my control. And my job is to prepare the best that I can. And whatever it may be, it is. That's the best thing I can say about that. You just got to trust the process.
Yeah, but you guys are down some guys on defense, and you know creativity then takes over where you're going to play 6-7 DBs, and sometimes you'll have two down guys, and I know they kicked you down inside a little bit. What was that like as opposed to standing up? How hard is that compared to standing up on the edge as opposed to when you got to put your hand down and you're dealing with, you know, interior linemen?
It's a little different. It just depends on if it's a rundown, if it's a pass down, because if it's a pass, it doesn't really matter if you're going against guards or tackles. Really, it's almost easier in some ways to go inside on pass. But, yeah, it just depends on the situation, honestly. And, you know, and run, I mean, you got to really, really bring it because some of those boys are pretty big now. So,
were you expecting to play more on Sunday, or did it come as a surprise to you as the game went on?
I can't really comment on that. Like I said, I'm just trusting the process. And, like, it just, you know, playing for New England is obviously a huge honor. I always talk about that. And with Coach Belichick, he's an incredible coach. And, you know, he's the man with the plan. And whatever he says goes. And if he says go in the game, then I go in the game and try to give it my best effort and make, you know, help the team win. But, you know, I just have to wait for the time when my number's called. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. And I think any competitor got to have that attitude. And I'm going to be chomping at the bit. And there's things that maybe I don't understand. And just got to let it all work out and trust the process, like I said.
Okay. I remember last year hanging out with your mom in a bar, and you got her a Nissan Maxima, I think. Somebody told me you drive a sports car. What kind of sports car do you drive? And it's a convertible, isn't it?
I drive a Mazda Miata, courtesy of the Mazda man. This guy I met, so he works at a Mazda dealership, but he is so into Mazdas. He literally has the domain name MazdaMan.com. And I got one for my mom, and we love the car so much. I was like, you know what? I honestly need that. And so I ended up getting it. And every day I drive to work, if it's nice out, I, you know, driving home, put the top down, listen to some good tunes, and just let the vibes roll.
What is your cutoff temperature, do you think, for the top going down on the convertible?
Probably like 15 degrees.
15?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Do bugs bounce off your forehead when your forehead's 3 inches above the windshield when top's down?
It's pretty close. I'm worried if I get into an accident of some sort. Like,
yeah, decapitation.
I don't have much room for my neck to go, but...
What year is the Miata? What is it, a new one?
2020. Yeah.
Okay, so it's new because you know that
I'm leasing it.
Okay, that particular car has a cult like following.
Yeah, I can see why. It's honestly, this isn't even an ad, but it's an incredible car. I have a blast. It drives like a go kart. It's so well balanced. It got a lot of pickup to it. I mean, it's great. And the sound system, shout out to Bose, that this also isn't an ad, but the sound system is incredible. I was with Lou Bell. He's Post Malone's producer, and we were driving last year, and he was so impressed. He texted me a few months ago, and he's just like, what was that car that we were driving that one time? Like, the sound system was crazy. So it's funny.
He's a local guy, Quincy guy. Huh. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, you ready for the questions?
No, hold on. I got one more.
Oh,
I have one
football.
More.
This football.
One more football one. Yeah. You had mentioned, not here, but elsewhere a couple of weeks ago, that you played a little tight end when you started your college career, right? You dabble in tight end a few years back?
Right. Early on in my college career, we had some injuries at Michigan, and Coach Harbaugh pulled me into his office, and he said, Chase, I really like your speed, and we're down a couple players. We'd love to see you at tight end. I think this would be a great move. And he listed all the people that he had worked with and some examples that obviously like lined up to like my skill set. And I was like, okay, that's great. Like, you're the man with the plan. I've always been that way. Just like, I want to get on the field whatever way I can and help us win. And, you know, I got switched literally like practice two of spring ball. I think it was like 2015, 2016. And so I played in the spring game with actually Coach Fish.
Jed Fish.
Handoff. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. I mean,
were you good at it?
End,
how do you think it went?
Tight end isn't for me. I'm pretty good at playing on defense, and that's probably where I'll reside.
Okay. But here's our plan for you. Ready? You could be the next Mike Vrabel for the Patriots. You can be like goal line tight end.
Yeah.
Of those situations where it's very specific. They can use you in a very specific role on offense.
Five attempts, five touchdowns.
Have you gone to coach and told him this yet? I think you should.
See, this is where the mantra manage expectations comes in. And Mike Vrabel's, I mean, he's obviously a great football player and very versatile. And I got a long way to go before we can start making some of those comparisons, even on offense. So that's definitely keep working first. And hopefully if I do my job right on defense, maybe they'll show me some love and give me an opportunity to catch a pass or two on offense. But hey, we'll see, man.
I'll tell you what.
Got to stay ready.
I'll tell you what. So you talk to Bill about it.
I ain't saying it.
Come on. Bring it. You see him every week.
Okay.
All right. Just make a mention. Maybe we get the ball rolling on this.
He might give me that eye roll thing, though. I don't piss him off. You know,
he won't get pissed. Yeah. He loves an idea.
All right.
He loves it.
We'll try it.
Bat it around in his own mind for a little bit, and he'll think about it. All right, Chase? So if all of a sudden you're getting asked to play tight end.
Make Bill think it's his idea.
Yes.
That's the trick.
Yes. 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 Okay.
Exactly. What do you got, Hardy?
Go ahead, Hardy.
Well, first off, Chase, I did go down the Brandon Lawson rabbit hole a little bit, and a fascinating story. It would dominate the conversation here, but as instructed, I know a lot of other people looked into it, too. So thank you for the heads up on that. But moving on to new topics. Here we go. Topic number one.
You're not even going to say your theory, though?
I don't think you're going to like it. I think he was hallucinating because of methamphetamine, and that he probably went missing. I do not believe law enforcement is involved in a conspiracy cover up. I think it was probably drug related, like drug dealers.
Oh, you think it was drug? So there was actually people, though.
Well, something happened to the body. They still haven't recovered the body.
That's what I mean. This is something that's pretty interesting. Well, first off, there's so much crazy information. Every like avenue that you go, there's just another rabbit hole that it leads you down. Just like the shadiness of the police department, or the fact that the sheriff's wife runs the town newspaper. So like there's like that cover up aspect, or the fact that his wife at the time was like, she was convicted for something along the lines of like lying to the government. So she's like a known, this isn't bad mouthing her. This is just, you know, a review of the evidence.
Factual.
yeah, exactly. So she's convicted for lying. So it's like, it's tough kind of knowing who to believe and how to make sense of things. But there's a technique that apparently methods do that I came across. It's like called like burrowing. And apparently people that are like really frantic and like really like scared and nervous, and like when they're on meth, they'll actually bury themselves in the ground. Huh. And which could explain why he wasn't found. I mean, it's kind of an interesting theory.
But they got like cadaver dogs out there and stuff. I mean, they conducted a search for him.
Yeah, the ground is pretty, I don't know if you ever pulled up a map, but it's pretty crazy.
Jesus.
And it's pretty expansive too. And they're really like the property owner was super like, oh, you can only do a search if the police are involved. And so it's like, there's a whole nother theory. It's like, what are they hiding on the property that they're so like, why can't like the family go out and look? It's just tough kind of knowing who to believe.
Chase, the guy had a warrant out for his arrest. I think he may have just, you know, gone missing and said, here's my opportunity to go. I think that's a theory, too, that deserves a little bit of thought.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, right. It's just the weirdest case because every rabbit hole that you go down, it just is it's another theory. And everything works. Like, everything is like, okay, that makes sense. Like, you could really believe, like, five different things.
Okay, so the three new questions for this week are very simple. You can just say real or not. Okay, here we go. Loch Ness Monster.
Not real.
Not real.
Got that wrong.
Not real. You know what? That's an upset right there. Okay,
there was new evidence. Didn't a recent picture come out of the Loch Ness Monster?
Different lake. It's in Lake George.
That was Ogopogo. Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
JFK. One shooter or not?
I think there's multiple shooters.
Attaboy.
Multiple shooters. Finally, crop circles.
I think those are just made by farmers. Those Signs is a great movie. Great cinematography, too.
Yep.
Do you treat Signs as a documentary of sorts?
I don't. Yeah, it's historical fiction, I'd say. That's the best way to put it.
All right, good.
All right, we got one more fun one to give you. It's the Twisted Tea question of the week. If you want to submit a question, go to 985thesportshub.com. It's Nick F. from Brockton sent this one in. It's a, would you rather cut your hair or get the Ohio State logo tattooed on your back?
Oh, that's a good question. All right, I want to make this clear. Under no circumstance would I ever get the Ohio State logo or tattoo on my body anywhere.
Yeah, your hair will grow back.
Yeah, my hair will grow back, even if it wouldn't. Even if I had to shave it off and keep it that way, there's no circumstance that I would get that.
That's great. Respect
that. All right, Chase, great talking to you again.
Good job, bud.
Yeah, yep, thank you, guys.
Talk to you soon. Chase Winovich of the New England Patriots with a John Zolak and Bertrand.
Boston Miata.
He's awesome. I love it.
Boston Miata.
Let's talk to Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area. He'll join us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is why you do the show. You take chances, you give takes. Sometimes they blow up in your face. You look like a complete idiot. We've all been there.
The pie in your face.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dig.
Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5, the Sports Hub. Go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Download the app. Stream us there. Let's go back to the Volkswagen dealers expert hotline to get some insight on the San Francisco 49ers, who the Patriots have on the schedule this weekend. From NBC Sports Bay Area, Matt Maiocco joins us now. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. How's everything there?
Good, Matt.
It's good. It's good. You know, like, for the Patriots, not so great after losing to Denver.
It's different.
So they're looking for a bit of a bounce back this weekend. But talk to us about the Jimmy Garoppolo experience, because the people in New England have a lot of interest in Jimmy Garoppolo for obvious reasons. How do you think it's gone there, you know, on the whole? I know the 49ers were in the Super Bowl last year, but tell me about Jimmy G and Shanahan together in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gone pretty well. You know, it's kind of tough to put your finger on because, you know, when he came in, and, I mean, he just lit it up in 2017 without even knowing the offense. You know, that was a really bad team that he joined that had one win in the first 11 games of the season. They moved him into the starting lineup, and they finished the season with five straight victories. And that's with him not knowing anything about the offense other than just the game plan by game plan installation. And so
everybody here was fired up. The 2018 season was going to be incredible with Garoppolo from start to finish. Then he gets injured. And then everybody, torn ACL week three, and everybody here is going, well, hold it. The guy, you know, he couldn't even start three games of the four games he was scheduled to start for the Patriots in 2016. Now he's out after three games. Is he injury prone? What's going on? And so then when 2019 started, it was, okay, can the guy even stay healthy? You know, what's he going to be like? I thought he played pretty well. But then what you saw in the playoffs was the 49ers completely turned away from the passing game. You know, you look at his numbers. They had a pair of 17-point victories over Minnesota and Green Bay. And Garoppolo was just a facilitator. I mean, all he was doing pretty much was handing the ball off. You get into the Super Bowl, he had one opportunity to make a huge play,
yeah.
And he overthrows Emmanuel Sanders. So, I mean, you look at his numbers are fine, but there's just something missing. And the way I would kind of describe it is that Kyle Shanahan, who's a quarterback guru, but also very hard on his quarterbacks, he wants guys who are automatic. You know, he wants guys that in the meeting room during the week, hey, this is the play call. This is the defense you're going to see. This is going to be open. You need to make this play. And he wants it to be automatic. He not 90%. He wants it 100% of the time. And I just don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is automatic. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a fine player. He's just not automatic. And so I don't know where exactly things are with him in the franchise. I think the 49ers could do a lot worse than having Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback. In fact, trust me, I've seen a lot worse than having Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback. But it's just it's not perfection, and people here are conditioned after Joe Montana and Steve Young. They're conditioned to expect perfection out of the quarterback.
It feels to me, and we had him here briefly, you know, caught a couple games with him, and he's a gamer to me, if that makes any sense. And It feels like he has plateaued right now to where it looks too robotic for him and everything is short. Like, they haven't advanced the downfield passing game. I'll go back to Shanahan and, you know, Kirk Cousins or, you know, Matt Ryan. It's downfield stuff. You know, there's stuff there by design to hit a downfield. And it's like the overprotection of him to where you could turn, I don't want to say it's a regression, but it doesn't feel like they've advanced anything with him. Because he was gunslinging at those final five games you talk about when he first got out there, and they turned it over to him. You know,
that's kind of the perplexing part of this is that you thought at the end of the 2017 season that that was just scratching the surface, right? Like, what's he going to do once he really understands what the system's about and he can play off certain things? And what you saw was almost it was almost like he was better stepping in, not knowing the system in all of its intricacies, than he was once he got to know all this stuff. And it was almost like the analysis by paralysis by analysis, that the more he knew, there was like this kind of a diminishing returns where, if you just roll the ball out and he goes out and play, it's going to be the same thing as being prepared, you know, through years of knowledge in the system. So what I've seen with him is I almost feel like he's, and if you're around Jimmy, you know, he doesn't really overthink things, but it almost is as if he gets on the field and he overthinks things, because you saw it in the Super Bowl too, where guys were open, but he just waited a split second too long. You know, it was like he wasn't decisive. He didn't, you know, he didn't just pull the trigger. He didn't let it rip. Whereas I think when there was a little less expectations, fewer expectations at the end of that 2017 season, and the 49ers, of course, were a bad team, so they weren't going anywhere, he could just let it rip. And I just get the sense that he's not doing that anymore. And I think that's an element of frustration for Kyle Shanahan, is that, I mean, he saw how Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan really butted heads in 2015, and then they kind of had a moment in that next off season where they kind of got on the same page. I think communication was a little bit better. And Matt Ryan not only had the best season of his career, he had one of the all-time best seasons for any quarterback in the history of the game. And so there was that kind of feeling that, okay, once Garoppolo's in it, now he's really going to take off. If the end of the 2017 season was kind of the baseline for what you would expect, well, he's just going to shoot through the roof, and that hasn't happened.
49ers insider Matt Maiocco with us from NBC Sports Bay Area. So I would say a good illustration of not being able to, force the ball down the field was Deebo Samuel over the weekend. He had 6 catches. They were all behind the line of scrimmage, and he had close to 100 yards receiving, which accounts for, a third of the passing yards, more than a third of the passing yards for Jimmy Garoppolo. So when you say Kyle Shanahan has grown frustrated with some of this, is there a greater frustration with the player, and is Jimmy Garoppolo sort of wearing out his welcome with the 49ers, and does Shanahan want to at some point consider moving on? What do you think?
I don't know the answer to that question. I think a lot of this is going to play out. I mean, I think when he came back against the Dolphins, he just wasn't right, and it showed. I mean, he was horrible. I don't know if you saw those last two throws he made right before halftime, but they were just horrendous throws. And then he came back, and I think there was an element against the Rams of, don't enable Aaron Donald to ruin your day. And so I think the game plan there was clearly just kind of take the teeth out of the Rams' pass rush, get the ball out of Garoppolo's hands quickly, get him some confidence, get him some very easy completions. And when I say easy completions, I mean catch a shotgun snap, basically drop the ball in front of you, and have Deebo Samuel, who's running at top speed, catch it and basically turn a running, what's in essence a running play, a jet sweep, into a 35-yard pass completion. So I think we'll see how they approach this from here on out. But Kyle Shanahan, they don't audible at the line of scrimmage. They don't make adjustments per se, other than there are answers built into every play he has, every pass play. There are routes at every depth. And when the deep shot is available, he expects it to be taken, and he's disappointed if it's not taken. So that's something to kind of watch this week. And as the season goes on, is that when those deep shots are available, are the 49ers going to take, or is Jimmy Garoppolo going to take those deep shots? And that's something where, from a salary cap standpoint, the 49ers can get out of this deal after this next season without much impact at all. But that of course opens the door to, okay, so if it's not Jimmy Garoppolo, who is it?
What about Matt Ryan? Could it be Matt Ryan if he's out of Atlanta?
It could be, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has to happen. Will the Falcons give up on him? There's even thought of, I know Shanahan really likes Kirk Cousins, yep, still. What's the deal in Minnesota with Cousins? I know he just signed an extension. There are a lot of things to consider with this, and it takes two to tango. So, who knows where this is going? But Garoppolo hasn't been perfect. That's a pretty fair assessment. And would he be the starting quarterback there in New England? I'm assuming he would be if they had somehow found a way, or if he'd come a year or two later and it made sense to keep him around at the time that Brady moved on. So I don't know.
Was San Fran in on Brady in February? Was the interest mutual?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the 49ers, from what I understand, the 49ers ultimately decided, they really looked at this and they felt like, hey, if this guy's interested in playing for us, we have to be interested in having him play for us. And so they looked at it and ultimately decided that Brady is, 43, Jimmy's 28, that it made more sense to keep going down the path they were going. rather with a potential window of, you know, a long time, as opposed to Brady at the stage in his career that he's at.
They'd be better now with Brady than Garoppolo, though. They would be.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Brady.
That game last year. I mean, I think you won it last year with Tom.
Interesting. Yeah.
But that was last year.
No, I know that.
I'm saying right now.
With that team, though. But they have a lot of injuries right now.
Yeah, granted.
That's a thing.
One of the things I did want to ask you about this weekend's game is, you know, the injuries up front for the 49ers. The Patriots had some real issues running the ball last week. Will the Patriots have those same issues this week in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers run defense allows teams opportunities to get big plays. And they play that wide nine, so there are holes there. The 49ers, you know, the big issue for them, too, is the pass rush. Jason Verrett has been playing very well, though, at corner. But, you know, the 49ers defense is not the defense that you saw last year on their march to the Super Bowl. There's no question about it. I mean, they don't have Nick Bosa. They don't have DeForest Buckner. You know, those are the two best players on their defensive line. They don't have Richard Sherman in the secondary. They don't have Dee Ford rushing off the edge. So it is a different defense, and there should be opportunities for the Patriots to put up some yards and potentially some points.
Well, Matt, everyone here this week is looking at this game and saying, can Bill get Jimmy G back in the offseason? That is a big topic of conversation here.
Let me just give you a little bit of insight here. A week or so ago, I went to Garoppolo and basically said, hey, I'd like to get you on, you know, for an interview. I'm going to do the week leading into the Patriots game. And he had just come off the Miami game. Horrible, horrible performance. And I said, I'm really not interested in anything that's going on right now. I just want to talk about your time with the Patriots. And so I thought, well, there's no way he's going to do this. And sure enough, he did it. And, you know, I started thinking, like, you know, because he's been kind of, I think, Tom Brady-esque a little bit, you know, kind of tough to pin down, you know, for us in the media a little bit. He's kind of wants to just kind of do his thing. And I started thinking later, like, well, you know, huh, I wonder why he was so eager to do it. And, I mean, it's pretty clear he has an affinity for the Patriots organization, for his time there. And it also kind of dawned on me that, hey, I mean, if Bill Belichick is bringing back Brian Hoyer, you know, why wouldn't he at some point down the road, may not be next year or the year after, or might be 5 years from now, but why wouldn't Bill Belichick revisit having Jimmy Garoppolo? And why wouldn't Jimmy Garoppolo revisit at some point going back to New England? And to me, I mean, and maybe I'm just reading way more in this than it should be, but I just thought, yeah, he's keeping that door open. You know, he just wants people there to kind of remember him. And I mean, he spoke very highly of the Patriots and the fans there. So I just thought, you know, he's probably just, you know, doesn't want to burn any bridges and wants to kind of remain in the thoughts of Patriots fans and the Patriots organization.
It's a little odd because we've heard about the text messages from Bill to Jimmy Garoppolo after games, yeah, and keeping in touch. And it's an odd dynamic, I would say. But Matt, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for checking in, and we'll see you down the road soon.
All right, Mark, Scott, thank you very much for having me.
See you, Matt.
Matt Maiocco joining us from NBC Sports Bay Area on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I don't think Jimmy's a perfect fit there with Kyle Shanahan.
Wow. What? That age of the quarterback, you know, the potential of coming off a Super Bowl, taking him to it in a matter of just 2 years off an ACL, they should be gaga over him.
They're not. We have plenty more to get to, including some of that audio of Jimmy G. He did multiple interviews this week glowing about the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Nice. Loved it here. Loved his time here. That's all in the mix. This week in show history, we'll get to. Also, Bruce Arena will join us next hour. So don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.